It's a wee natter. I'm Mark Steele, and across the table from me should be Jenny, but unfortunately she's still on a super secret mission that even I am not allowed to know about, dear listener. Yeah, I'm not allowed to know the details on it, so I can't share them with you. But I can say I am joining you on the week that Landon, yeah, the Big Smoke, have named their overground lines. And quite frankly, I don't know about you, but I am disappointed with the names. Not because of wokeness or anything like that, but because they didn't call it, you know, the Ricky and Bianca lines. You know, they've missed an opportunity to celebrate London's East End. Although, if we're talking about celebration, I am joining you on a new channel, dear listener. We're now available on Thatcham Town Radio as well. The Wee Natter Empire expands. Vive la Revolution! Yeah, yeah, I'll kill the French stuff. We should probably stop doing that. But on that upbeat note, the postbag has arrived. And last week, we were asking you what gifts you've given or received that, quite frankly, you just weren't appreciated. You might have put a lot of effort into it. You might have spent hours and hours and hours going around the shops going, this is the perfect gift, only for it to be given and they're like, what is this nonsense? Or maybe it was the other way around. You're given a gift and you're looking at it going, what is this nonsense? Well, Danielle has been in touch saying, always a great listen when I tune into a Wee Natter with Mark's humour and a nostalgic tune. So, fair enough, not answering the question. I'm on board with you on that one, but I do love to hear your comments anyway, Daniela. Also be in touch, Gail, saying a pink pig teddy bear that she received. I'm not sure about that one. A pig teddy bear. So is it like a combination between the two animals? I get the pink bit. I'm assuming that's the colour. Also be in touch, Andy Mason saying, a cutlery set for Christmas 1 year. I thought it was going to be some tools for my shed. Oh, I love that sort of thing. When you give a gift and the person receiving it thinks it's going to be one thing, and then you fool them, and you're like, I managed to get one up on you. Yeah, I like doing that from the giving side. It's not so great from the receiving side, isn't it? Amanda Wally in touch saying, previously owned used crack grass. There are some things, I don't know if cat grass is in this category, but there are some things you just do not gift used. You know, chewing gum, underwear, things like that. You don't want them secondhand. A lot of things, fine second, you know, a nice book secondhand, I would accept that, not a problem. But again, secondhand chewing gum, maybe have a think about it. Maureen Stott also in touch saying, I've been having a bit of a tidy up in the garden today. Everything's looking so drab, but spring is round the corner. Yeah, we've got to celebrate that, haven't you? And in answer to the question, I was given some lovely bath bombs once, which sounds like quite a nice gift to be giving, some bath bombs. And if you've never heard of them before, it's not like you're throwing some TNT in the bath and it goes boom and you've got water everywhere. They're little fizzy things that they just fizz up, really. But they have some nice smells and things to them as well. The problem with Maureen's one is she only has a shower, which is a shame because apparently they smell lovely. maybe you can have them in the bottom of the shower and they can fizz up there. I don't know. Jane Barrett saying, I think I've had a think about the question, and the two things I have chosen are from a few years ago. Both were gifts that I received. Oh, this could bend badly, this one, isn't it? One was toilet roll, made to look like £10 notes. Obviously a joke present. Oh, yeah, I'm so rich. I'm wiping my well, you can figure it out, rest out that one, dear listener, without us having to hit the gutter. And the second one was a bottle of Drambuie, which not only has it been opened, it was so old, it had gone off. Yeah, I've got a bottle of whiskey like that as well. I don't think it's as fancy as Drambuie. But there is a bottle of whiskey in the kitchen that I've had a little tipple of, but it's been there for about, what, 5-6 years now? I might get around to drinking the rest of it. You never know what happens. Louise Malison saying, I was given a dress for Christmas that was nothing like I would ever wear, but I had to wear it. I was going to the party at the person's house for New Year. Oh! Oh, yeah, it's like going to your nan's house after she's given you some big woolly homemade jumpers. You have to turn up in the jumper. Her house, the temperature, it's like being in the desert or something like that. It's like 50 degrees. You still have to wear the handmade woolly jumper that you're very appreciative of. And Nancy Dutch saying, on unopened presents, my husband gave me some sleep shirts, like long sleeve. You know, like really long T-shirts. And they would have been lovely, except they had some rubbery decals with stupid slogans on them on the front. And the decals smell like chemicals even after laundering. Oh, you don't want clothes that smell funky, do you? So she quietly donated them to charity. But that's got me remembering, right? If I say to you, IT department, in your head, imagine what your IT department looks like. You're probably getting a picture of, it used to be the guys with the big thick grey beards. They would wear black t-shirts with some sort of metal band on them. Unfortunately, nowadays, times have changed. Not I'm saying I'm one of those people, but I'm just very disappointed that times have changed. Sue saying, I gave my boyfriend a lovely long foot massage. I don't think he appreciated it because he said I didn't use enough pressure. So either you're at the point where you're using the whole of your body weight to give a massage and the person isn't feeling it, or, you know, you're going to have to get Big Bertha involved, whether that's your mate or your auntie or something like that, somebody that's got a bit more girth to them. But don't explain why you need all that weight to help out with something like this. Otherwise, they're going to be very offended. Sam Killip saying, the worst gift I've ever received is a diary. A diary is useful for me because I have an online calendar to put things in. I'm with you in this category, Sam. Online calendars are how you remember to do things. And you can have online journals nowadays if you want to do the secret messages about, oh, my boss is a bit of an idiot and things like that. I also just don't like the look of it, and I'm not looking forward to whatever is in it because of how difficult it can show up in certain environments. And Cheryl Warner saying, I was given a toilet gift set years ago and it smelt like a public toilet. The only way you can improve on that one, Cheryl, is that it came with a little light inside it that glows that very specific blue that only appears in public toilets. And I have seen something like that that was sold, I think it's in one of these budget shops, you know, the ones that, nothing's a pound anymore, but it's still, you know, the cheap stuff they get from all sorts of weird places. And they had a toilet rim light. So the idea was, if you get up in the night, you lift the lid, it's got a glow coming out the toilet. Nobody wants to see a glow coming out of the toilet, but apparently it's a thing. And one of the colours they could do was the blue that you get in public toilets. I don't want to get all depressed, but is it me or is everything getting so expensive nowadays? I went into a pound shop, right? How much do you expect everything to cost when you go into a pound shop? You'd think, given the name, it's going to be a pound. Nothing costs a pound on the pound shop nowadays. So rather than focusing on the grim bit, let's imagine, you media listener, let's imagine that you win a daft amount of money. I'm not talking like pools money. I'm not talking 10 quid on a horse money. I'm talking like proper Euro Millions of money. Imagine you win a wedge that big. And we all know you're going to buy an over, flip it in a field after practicing drifting in the McDonald's car park with the trays underneath the wheels. But other than that, what rich person thing are you going to do with all that money? Now, I've only ever been in one rich person's house in my life. And the one thing I remember is they had a bathroom so big you could have played basketball in it. I don't know why you'd want to play basketball when you're in the bathroom, but you could have done it. But personally, I've been having a little think about this, right? You could have, I would put secret passages in my house, but then I've only got one bookshelf, so it's kind of obvious where the secret passage is going to be. I thought about, you know, I could hire a personal chef as well. And then I thought, I've kind of done it already, haven't I? Because, you know, Ronald does make what I want on demand, and he always makes some fantastic burgers. And then I also thought, maybe I'd get myself a chauffeur. But then it cost me £2 a pop at the moment, and I'll miss the insight into Fife's drug scene. So I'm going to open up to you, dear listener. If you suddenly won, like I said, not pools money, not 10 quid on a horse money, but like proper serious 1 Euro Millions money, what rich person thing will you do? So we Nasser on Bow Radio and Thatcham Town Radio as well. And I was asking you that question. If you won, like I said, not pools money, not 10 quid on a horse money, but you won some really serious lottery money, what would you do with it? What rich person thing would you do? And a few of you have been touched. Somebody called PG31Cat. I assume that is their true legal name, but that's what they're calling themselves. If I won millions, I'd have my main residence offshore and have a dressing room, like something from The Real Housewives. You've just taken me back to a certain point in my life. I've not seen Real Housewives. Not that I watched it all the time, but I've not seen Real Housewives in a very long time. But yeah, if you can live a life like that, I'd be up for it. I wouldn't complain about it. Also being in touch, Stephen Ray saying, I would buy a small football club who struggled for years and get them up the leagues, a sure way to guarantee I wouldn't be too rich for long. And you wouldn't even be the first person to do it either. Wasn't that what happened with Blackpool? I'm not a football person, but I do remember it was something around that. And also Vicky Fairweather saying, hi, Mark, enjoying the show here in West Norfolk. If I won a life-changing amount of money, I would quit work and travel the world. I'd love to just travel the world without having to quit work. Never mind be able to do it with quitting work as well. I'm on board with you on that one. It would be nice to just have enough money to go on a wee foreign holiday from time to time. When I was a kid, a holiday was visiting extended family and living in their living room. There's only so much culture you can get out of that, isn't there? We were talking about what would you do? What is the proper rich person thing you'd do if you won, like I said, serious money? Not like you've won a couple of quid on a scratch card or something like that. Proper money. Ellie Merritt saying, if I won the money, I would get a bit of land and have a cat sanctuary. I'm not even sure what a cat sanctuary would look like. I know what a cat Turry looks like, which is when you send your pet there because you're going on holiday or have got to go away for work or whatever. But a cat sanctuary, does it have scratching posts everywhere? Has it got litter trays everywhere? What does it even look like? I assume it's very sunny all the time. And talking about, well, sunny and how things aren't always sunny, something big happened this week, and if you didn't notice it happen, you're probably in trouble with somebody significant in your life. We'll have a chat about it. I was asking you about what you'd do if you won an insane amount of money. Warwick Heston has been in touch saying, hi, Hall, it's great to have the live shows on Thatcher Town Radio. I'm loving it. And if I won a rude amount of money, I would have a yacht either in the Med or the Caribbean and just sail around island hopping, visiting different ports, trying the local food and swimming in the clear turquoise waters. You're making me jealous now. I just want to go down there for a holiday, but I'm not exactly rolling in money at the moment. I remember my being married for my work. I'm gonna have to enjoy a holiday being, well, it'll be a tour on the 2 quid bus trips. That'll be mine. But island hopping sounds fantastic, so long as the weather stays good, which I'm sure it does down in the Caribbean. Anyway, I did say something important happened this week. And in case you don't notice, Valentine's Day was what happened. How did yours go? Well, personally, because I got made redundant the week before, I had to tame things down a bit, and what was supposed to be a romantic meal out became pie and chips cooked at home. I still splashed out for flowers, you know, that ended up being 2 quid the next day. I didn't quite drop to the petrol station. We had a co-op house. But it did get me wondering what the most budget-conscious romantic thing is that you could possibly do. I guess it would be something like, you know, a home movie night. You know, turn on the lights, stick a rom-com in the video player, only to find out you've accidentally recorded over the last hour with Big Break, which kind of ruins the moment, doesn't it? Kind of kills the mood at that point. We're touching on a budget Valentine's, and Cheryl Warner has been in touch saying, a budget Valentine would be a McDonald's with tablecloth and candles. I would love that. That's sort of thing I could get into. However, you also need the music to go with it, and they don't often play music like this in McDonald's. A bit of George Michael, Careless Whisper. It's a wee NASA. Sometimes you read something and you just sit there going, the world does not make sense, does it, listener? And a great example of this is somebody shared an article with me about Japan's first person in space. And what is the word for that when it's Japanese? Is it astronaut? Is it cosmonaut? I've no idea. But I want you to get a picture of this person in your head. What are you imagining when I say first Japanese person in space? You're imagining some sort of elite military person or something like that, aren't you? No, apparently he was a TV journalist and wonderfully normal as well. Nothing like off a turn on TV or anything like that. Take your mind out of there. Being wonderfully normal with this guy. But before going up into space, he was a bit like my nan, smoked like a chimney. This guy was on 4 packs a day, gave it up, and then spent the whole time he was in space craving a smoke. Could you imagine if he snuck some cigarettes and matches up and just roll the window down and get sucked off into space? Or, you know, blowing up the space station by lighting a match on pure oxygen. I don't think you could snuck away with that one, could you? I want you to put your classical music head on, dear listener. I know it's not normally the sort of thing we do. We're usually in the oik category. I accept that's the world I come from. But we're going to be all refined and sophisticated. And I'm going to ask if you recognise... Well, they don't call it a song in classical music. You recognise this piece or this movement. If you've been in Nottingham more than 10 minutes, or you were around for the 1984 Winter Olympics, you will of course recognise it is Bolero. And apparently this week is 40 years since Torvald Dean won a gold medal in Sarajevo. And they performed a routine again this week. Fair play to them. 40 years out of one piece of work. That's amazing if you could do that. Although... they've put a lot of effort in. It's not like they just did it for 5 minutes and gone, you know what, that 5 minutes is our 40 years of work. It takes a lot of effort, don't get me wrong. I spent some time on the ice rink, and I spent most of it on my backside. Never did land that place with the five flyers, but I did learn it was a lot of work. So well done, Torvald Dean, the 40 years on this week. Just a moment ago, we were celebrating the fact it's been 40 years since Torvald Dean won their gold medal in Sarajevo, which doesn't feel like yesterday, but it turns out this week wasn't the only anniversary. No, apparently the most important, most beautiful, most magical saggy old cloth cat in the whole wide world joined us for the first time in 1974, 50 years ago on the 12th of February. And I'm not going to claim I was around at the time, but I've certainly got a soft spot in my heart for Bagpuss. In case you haven't noticed, it's an election year this year, dear listener. Now, not just for a mayor that we never asked for, we're going to have to deal with that, but we might even get a general election as well. And you'll hear all sorts of promises in the build-up, but no one will be dealing with the unimportant issues. And I want to change that. I want to bring the
power to the people!
As part of something we call... which isn't just an excuse for me to play Alice Cooper every week. But this week we are taking on... well, I want to call it a very serious issue, but I don't know if you can call it that. But it is one that has been plaguing the supermarket shelves for years now, dear listener. I'm not talking about shrinkflation. You know, give me back my laundry powder. How am I supposed to do the Dad's Doorstep Challenge and get wowed by the results if I can't get enough powder to put a load on? No, the real issue that I have on the supermarket shelves is fun size, right? Whoever came up with that name, I bet they haven't had fun in decades. If you think eating a fifth of a Mars bar is fun, you've not had a lot of fun in your life. That's a conclusion I'm coming to. So that's why our pledge... in the People's Manifesto, this is the manifesto you and I, dear listener, are building up in the build-up to the general election. We're not going to set anyone to actually run in it. We're just building up the People's Manifesto on unimportant issues. The pledge we're going to add is that fun size will be full size. I think we could run a serious campaign out of this. Fun size will be full size. Like, and when I talk about full size... I'm talking about like you used to have when you were kids. Not the full size you get nowadays where you're sitting there going... I thought a wagon wheel could cover my hand. Now a wagon wheel's lucky to cover a thimble. You know, I'm talking about full size like you used to have when you were a kid. And on that note, if you've got a not so serious issue that you want us to tackle as part of Elected Dear Listener, then I'd love to hear it. It is a People's Manifesto. You are helping us build it. If you're new to the show, then you won't know about the decade-old quiz that I put together. And it's something I made... over a decade ago. I found it in my Google Docs, and it's a quiz of 100 questions, and there were supposed to be all sorts of mechanics and things around it, and the person that answered question 100 was going to win the prize. However, finding these questions and seeing a number of them out of date, I thought I'd share the quiz with you anyway and become our little puzzler that we do every week. And this week's question is a nice simple one. Well, I say it's a simple one. It's something you've probably never thought about before. Where do loofahs come from? There's a tricky question. Where do loofahs come from? If you think you know, get in touch. I've been asking you the question, where do loofahs come from? Louise Malison has been in touch with a guess. And Louise, that is the exact way I guessed as well. But it's not the right answer. I've been asking you the very serious, important question that is on all of our minds: where do loofahs come from? And a few more have you have taken a shot at the answer. Cheryl saying from the gourd plant in Asia, and Hank saying the answer in the natural loofah sponges actually come from the fruits of vine-growing loofah plants. These plants are part of the gourd family, making them relatives of watermelons, cucumbers, and pumpkins. So there you go, Cheryl, Hank, you are both correct, and if you managed to figure out as well, dear listener, you are correct as well. Although, seriously, I've got no idea what loofahs are used for and why you only find them in your auntie's house, never anyone else's house. Let's play a bit of word association, dear listener. When I say Preston, what comes to mind? Yeah, it's the nerve. It's all nerving, isn't it? And the thing that pops into my mind when I think Preston is spending hours there waiting between the sleeper train and the first train about 20 years ago. And it didn't strike me as a hive of activity at 4 o'clock in the morning. But much like the rest of the UK, it has a closed down branch of British Home Stores. They've got one of those in Preston. I'm sure they've got one near you, dear listener, as well. And much like the one near you, it probably hasn't changed into anything else. So what illicit activity do you think they found in what used to be the Preston branch of BHS? Go on, give a shot. Give me your best guess. No. Snail farming. Which raises several questions in my mind. You can't just claim, oh, there was snail farming there. But seriously, who needs so many snails that they need to farm them? Because seriously, the road I live on, the moment it rains, you just get snails all over the pavement. You don't need to farm them. They're everywhere. Unless you're starting an uprising and need a snail army, which will then be defeated by salt. So it wouldn't be a very good army, wasn't it? And secondly, why Preston? Unless, no, seriously, they haven't, have they? They haven't weaponized a hot pot with snails, have they? We were in a little chat about the fact that in Preston, what used to be British Home Stores has turned into a snail farm, which we've now worked out is being used to weaponize the hot pot. And as part of that, I asked you, what do you associate with the word Preston? And I'd assume that most of you, dear listener, would be going into the north. You'd be all northern. You'd be thinking about that place that you drive past on the M6 at about 70 mile an hour. Well, it turns out that Hank was not making that association. He let me know that it was Billy Preston was who he went to instead, which I don't know, given the choice, Billy Preston or the town of Preston, I don't know which is better. I don't know which I'd prefer in my life. I think you need both of them in your life. And on a slightly different note, there is something that I learned about, dear listener, that absolutely blew my mind. It's going to blow your mind as well. Well, it might or might not. We'll find out. And we were talking about snails. Of all the things in the world, dear listener, we've been talking about snails. And Vicky Fairweaver has just said they hold the World Snail Racing Championships every year at a village about 5 miles from me, Congham in Norfolk. And I've had a look. And the next International Snail World Championships, the important race of the year for snails, it's on the 6th of July. It is coming up this year. I think it's going to make... Well, it's not going to make great radio, but I think we're going to go there anyway, dear listener. We're going to turn up and do a live broadcast from the snails. I'm sure it'll be fantastic. And talking about fantastic and blowing minds, I did promise you something that blew my mind, even if it doesn't blow your mind, dear listener. It is that I learned that the Amazon River, you know about it, not the Amazon the shop, but Amazon the river, big river, South America, you know all about it. I learned that apparently it has a much smaller river creeping under, well, a much bigger river creeping underneath it, called not the Nozama, which would be the obvious one for the inverted Amazon. It's called the Hamza. I think they've missed a trick there, but it's got me wondering, does this river exist underneath all of Amazon's warehouses? And on that note, I'm nipping off to the warehouse in Mansfield to find out. Don't worry, I've got a wetsuit, and I'm sure the police will understand. But if you don't hear another song after this, you know I've been caught and I'm in trouble, dear listener. Now, I hate to be the bearer of bad news in any situation, but time has crept upon us, and unfortunately that's about it for a wee natter this week, but we will be back again next week on both radio stations, hopefully. That's down to the powers that be.